Why is it some things heal and some things heal? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. We're going to be illumined now. Why is it that some things heal and some things heal? Why is it that some honey is more potent to heal than other honeys? Why is it that as late as 1989, they diagnosed certain honeys and found out what some of its potential was? Why is it that in the year 2000, they did some more research on it? And why is it they're doing a continuing research program? And why is it that they're finding out that honey heals and does beautiful things? And now, they're not going to report to you what honey does not do. You know that? They're not going to say, honey does not heal a cold, because it doesn't heal a cold, you know. They give you honey when you got a cold, and your cold doesn't get better. And they say, you have a burn. And so you put honey on the burn, and honey does not help the burn. Well, now, the question would be, what kind of honey is it? Is it the special honey from New Zealand, or is it the honey from California, or, you know, what is it? Where is it from? And isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Now, let me just draw you a slight itsy-bitsy, teensy-weensy analogy. How many of you know what a hummingbird is? Mm-hmm. Okay, now, what does a hummingbird do? A hummingbird takes a teensy-weensy little bit of sugar and water, diluted way down into his little tiny body, and he beats his wings thousands of times a minute. And he almost looks like he's standing still in the air, which he's doing. And while he's doing that, he turns his head and looks around to make sure that there's no predators around. He tilts his head toward the flower and draws off the honey. And he lifts his head up and gurgles and gargles. Ah, that was pretty good, you know. And then he goes back for some more. Now, I know that you know the answer, but I'm going to give you the question anyhow. How many illnesses does the hummingbird have?
None.
How many illnesses do birds in the wild have? You know? How many illnesses do whales in the sea, in the ocean have? As we have done research, we found out that the illnesses of whales in the ocean are man-made, because the whale has swum into man-made pollutants in the ocean. But the natural quality of the whales in the ocean is what?
Healthy.
Wholeness, healthy. The natural quality of a hummingbird is to be whole and perfect. Now, is it because the hummingbird is drinking this nectar? Now, what about the bees? Are you familiar with the bees? You're the birds and the bees, you know. Are you familiar with the bees? Are the bees healthy? Have you ever heard of unhealthy bees? Really? Now, bees could get into something that would be unhealthy for them, but it would be a rarity rather than the other. They may get into a trash pile, they may, but they're not attracted to a trash pile, are they? What are they attracted to, a bee?
Honey.
Hmm?
Flowers.
Flowers. And what do they get from the flowers?
Honey.
They get the nectar from the flower. And what do they do with the nectar from the flower? They regurgitate it, they regenerate it within their body, and they create it into a honey. Their bodies are manufacturing plants to make it into honey. Then they take this nectar that they take out of the plants, and which they have made into their body, into their being, into honey. They've regurgitated it and stomached it over, and boom, and then they threw it up out into the honeycomb, you know. And you eat the honeycomb. I know, but you have to really be conscious that this is a physiological act on the side of the bee making honey. He makes it out of his very own body. Now, little birds could not survive if their mother didn't go off and the father and eat something and then digest it to a degree and then regurgitate it for the baby bird. Because the baby birds need to have pre-digested food. Now, that's just the way it is. Now, we're saying these things not because we're saying that it's bad. We're saying these things merely to indicate that there are processes, there are techniques and programs that are used by our feathered friends and whoever else to accomplish their goal. Now, what does a caterpillar do? A caterpillar walks along, humping its back, looks like crazy, silly, useless type of an object. And birds come along and boom, it's a good dinner, So the birds eat these caterpillars. But when the caterpillars have a chance, what do they do?
They turn into a butterfly.
When the caterpillar has a chance, what does it do? It creates a cocoon about itself, which allows it to regurgitate within the cocoon, to reformat, to be born again. Now see, there's the born again aspect. It's born again as a, now you can say the word.
Butterfly.
It's born again as a butterfly. Now, did it ever really die?
No.
It was just in there recapitulating. Now, where did the worm come from? Where did the creature come from in the first place? Who laid the babies of that creature? Was it the butterfly that laid the eggs and then out came the caterpillar from the eggs of the butterfly? And then out of the eggs of the butterfly came the caterpillar, and then out of the caterpillar from his cocoon came the butterfly, and then out of the butterfly, the sexual organs of the butterfly produced these eggs, and these eggs created themselves as what?
Caterpillars.
And thousands of caterpillars, thousands of them. If you ever see a nest of caterpillars, you have seen quite a magical scene. All the activity that goes on there, thousands of caterpillars, because only a few come through, like the baby fish. The mother and sperms out maybe about 1,000, 10,000, 1,000,000 eggs, and then the male comes along and spreads its sperm all over the eggs, and then the eggs hatch. Well, while the eggs are getting ready to hatch, friends come along and they say, oh, dinner time. And they open their mouth and they eat a couple thousand little fish that never have a chance to be anything else but just fertilized eggs. And so, you see, what is this program? Fantastic, isn't it? It's just fantastic. And who has made the creatures of this world diseased and imperfect? We have by the way we disrespect them, by the way we disrespect ourselves. And because of that, we bring illnesses and disease. Now, what we want to do is what? We want to eat honey.
Be honey.
What we want to do is to take this pure essence, this pure substance, and live. Now, if you had a diet of pure honey, would you survive comfortably?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, it'd kill you. It's too rich.
Uh-huh.
It's too rich. Your body is not adjusted to having such a rich diet. It is, Ellen, did you ever hear the word tincture? A tincture of something? What's a tincture?
A
teensy-weensy drop. A teensy-weensy drop. Well, a tincture, what do you think that your enzymes and hormones and so forth are in your body? Is it a roaring stream of water or a flow? Or is it just a little drop, just a little drop that makes all the difference in the world? Now, this is how we're designed to be. This is how our bodies are designed to be. Now, why are we designed to be that way? Why are we designed to be totally fulfilled with it? Why is it such a teensy-weensy bit of hydrogen peroxide dwells in the drop of honey? Teensy-weensy percentile. And yet, it does tremendous work. It's perhaps the greatest of the healing agents. But it needs all the other aspects of the honey to bring about a balanced healing, to bring about a healing with no scars, with no inflammation, with no infection of any kind. It's amazing. But this is how these things work. Now, in that same light, your mind, one little thought in your mind can blow your mind. Sylvia comes up to me and she says, I'm unhappy, the world's terrible, I'm going to drop off the world, get to stop the world, I want to get off. And I say, Sylvia?
Yeah, what do you want?
Sylvia, telephone call. And so Sylvia picks up the telephone. What? And all of her stopping the world to get off is forgotten because she now is a millionaire. She now won the sweepstakes. And she's totally different. She's no more interested in being unhappy about anything. There's nothing that can touch her, nothing that can disturb her. People come up to her and say, Sylvia, you're terrible, you're lousy, you're this or that. And nobody would say that when she just got a couple $1 million, would they? But, you know, she wouldn't create them saying that, would she? We create people saying exactly where our mood is. And our life is a reflection of our mood. And so we want to be very careful. So, I like me. That's my mood. I like me. I'm happy. I'm fulfilled. I'm a fantastic being, you know. And I look over here and I see Jason, you know, that ideal name, you know, the golden fleece, the boy with the golden fleece. Wow, you got everything. And the handsome, dynamic, intelligent, you know, wise, brilliant, beautiful, strong body, ideal flesh, body, you know, just everything about his is perfect. Is that okay?
Perfect.
Okay. I just want to make sure I'm saying it all right, you know. Yeah. But now, why do I see him like that? Metta!
Because
thank you very much.
Because it's your mirror.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, it's not because he's so darn good. It's because I am. And he's my mirror, and I am good. Now, if I think bad thoughts about myself, I'm going to look around at all of you and see all of you with bad thoughts.
Uh-huh.
You know, all of you being whatever my bad thoughts are. And I don't dare do that because I don't want that. I want to look at all of you and see you as supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I see all of you as rich. Can you handle that?
I accept.
Healthy.
I accept.
With beautiful children.
Yes.
Ideal children. Who are just always doing the right thing in the right way at the right time for the right purpose.
Exactly.
For me. Yeah. But isn't that right? And you are surrounded by beautiful people who just think that you're the greatest thing that ever walked on the face of the earth, and your mother just worships the ground you stand on because it's the ground she stands on too. You know, it's not just because of you. She created you, the beautiful being that you are, and she did a good job, didn't she?
Excellent job.
Yeah, and you did a good job creating her, letting you totally be yourself and walk your own path and be how fantastic you are. And you! Yeah? What about
I
you?
Listen.
You listen. Okay. Why is it that you're a reflection of me and you're wearing purple and green? You know? Why is it you're... Do you know who wears purple and green?
Yes.
Andorra. Remember Andorra? She is the mother witch. But she's good. But she wears that same colors that you do, a little more brilliant than yours, but same colors that you do. Why?
She likes the colors.
Of course she likes the colors, but the colors represent her flamboyance. Represent her total abandonment. She doesn't care what the world thinks or sees of her. Everyone who sees of her says, there's something special about you. There's something unique about you. You're something outstanding. Now, is that what you're wearing those colors for? So that people will recognize there's something unique and outstanding about you? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, one more thing to do. We have to get up. Push up those lips there, you know. Get that smile on your face rather than the frown, because you want to be master. Not mastered by others, but master of yourself. When we get to you, we run out of superlatives. Right?
Yes, right.
Right. What would you say about Anita? How is she a reflection of you?
Huh? She's a fantastic reflection.
How is she a reflection of you? What kind of reflection does she have?
Well, she's beautiful.
I like that. She's beautiful.
She's beautiful. She's...
Now listen closely.
She's brilliant. She's,
yes. Mm-hmm.
She's rich and wealthy and...
Yes, go on.
What else can you be? Well, you say the rest.
Well, the thing is, as I see her, she is the
ideal woman.
Woman. Is that okay?
Yes, except.
And what is Jason? Is he the ideal woman?
The ideal man.
The ideal man. Oh, he's the ideal man. Is he the ideal father?
Ideal man.
He's the ideal man.
But he's the ideal man.
Everything included.
Is he the ideal...
man.
Human? The ideal...
Divine.
Divine?
Yes.
No, Ellen.
No, he's divine.
No,
he's the
Ellen.
Ideal.
He goes beyond human and divine. He goes beyond that limitation and into the ultimate, into the allness, the isness. Is there any limitation that's on him?
No.
Any person who looks at him, what do they think?
Ideal.
Mr. Wonderful, right?
Yes,
ideal.
Yes.
Ideal. You shake your head, yes. But it's true. It's true, because that's who we are. He thinks that he's so smart, you know. He doesn't realize that he's our reflection. There you go. Cool. And that's true. Now, Anita?
Yes.
Did we cover you fairly well?
Wonderfully.
Is it true?
Yes.
Okay. Now just remember, you can eat all the honey you want, and it can heal you. It can do these things if you feel you'd like to have it do that. Or you can just drink water. Or you can just do nothing. And let your human body die and disintegrate, and then what? Your spiritual self is always there.
And be.
Huh?
And be.
Be a bee and make honey.
Oh, be a bee. And what's another thing about a bumblebee? What's a physiological thing about a bumblebee people say all the time? It should not
be able to fly.
It should not be able to fly. Can you imagine that little bumblebee with the sets of wings that it has, all weaving around in patterns, holding it there, holding pattern, and coming away and going up and going down, and then loading up with honey, loading up with the juices, and going into the beehive, and getting in there, crawling in there, and squirting out this honey into the honeycomb, and then going back to work, a never-ending day and night work, you know. Isn't that fascinating? Think of that for yourself. You're fascinating. Yes. But the honey doesn't heal. What heals?
The thought.
I thought.
I am already healed, whole and perfect.
And there is nothing to
be
heal,
healed.
For all is ideal right now. There is nothing to heal for all. Now, I'll play the game with you. And I'll give you the story of the honeybee. And I'll give you the story of the hummingbird and all these other things and distract your attention. Distract your attention from the fact that, so, what is the hummingbird doing? It's being there. What's a bee doing? It's being there. And what are you doing? You're being there. Pretty wonderful, isn't it? Just think. You have the opportunity to be all that you are right now. But you can't unless you do what?
Be it.
Unless you claim it. Be it. You can go around saying, I'd like to be perfect. I'd like to be fantastic. I'd like to be this. I'd like to be that. And poof, that's nice to be like, to like to be too. But I am is a total different picture. I am that I am that I am. I am perfect, I'm fantastic, I'm glorious. I am all that I am right now. So think about that. Good stuff to think about. Put it to work for yourself and watch the miracle take place in your life. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Love you.
I love you.